So, hi, this is the 15th of August, 2026. Now, I want to make some comments here. There's been a lot of lies spread about me here that I'm not providing for my son and a lot of other nonsense. So I want to set the record straight. First of all, I provided very well for my son. As I put on the website, she was the one who was preventing me from providing well for my son in the end. Because as I have said before on the website, prior to marriage, before marriage, the agreement was that I earn enough money in Canada, stay here long enough to provide for us in Zambia. And she has refused my polygraph challenge, where we are both asked the same questions, including this one. And so I provided well. I put in thousands of dollars over a period of years, investing in four properties there and other costs as well. On the website, you will see exhibits. Now, those exhibits were part of a civil action which I filed in August of last year, which never went anywhere because a female judge who had her own personal agenda. I wish I can remember her name because I would put her name on the website. She was a female judge, clearly violating the law. A little bit of common sense would tell you that the major part, if not the major part, of a civil action is to look at the claim and see if the claim is valid and that the claim is clear. So if you are suing someone for damages, you have to prove that the action was done which resulted in the damages. That has to be clarified. And then you have to substantiate the damages from that. Clearly, this was laid out in my claim. So it's a valid claim. My point here, however, is that the judge, who is a woman, who was clearly not doing her job properly, didn't even deal with the issue of the claim itself. And because this was a telephone conference, there was nothing in writing about this. And I tried to follow up and nothing's happened. So there's no justice here. The courts are biased in favor of women when it comes to family matters. So, you know, like there's two rules in the courts here. Rule number one, the wife is always right, or the woman is always right. When the wife is wrong, this is the second rule. When the wife is wrong, see rule number one, a wife just cannot do anything wrong. She's committed theft, she's committed abduction, but nothing gets done. The police also. I have been to the police more than once on both issues. Nothing gets done despite the clear wording of the law. You can't not get this right, but nothing gets done. So the bias is there. It's obvious. So let me get back now. The civil action, so the documents on the website, exhibit this, exhibit that, are because of the civil action. So, if you look at Exhibit 12, where she refused to cooperate, this is on that original point that I made that I'm accused of not providing for my son. Had the money been used honestly and wisely there, we'd have our own home, we'd have the own business, we'd be totally self-supporting and living well. So, but what happened was this money was I only recovered approximately 10% of it that I had invested there. So, that's a huge loss. I worked for years for nothing that I'm accusing him not providing. When it's her and her criminal nephew, Martin C. Amafua, who caused me to lose all of this. They were the schemers and the fraudsters behind this. So go to Exhibit 12 on my website and take a look at that. She states on there, first of all, if you go, there's another document, I forget what it's called. I think it's called Notice of Ownership. Another document which she assigned this farm in Kanakantapa over to me. Because I made it clear to her, look, I paid for this, you're leaving me. So, Once she abandoned me, she announced she was going to abandon me. She told me in advance. Didn't use those words, of course. I said, I worked for years for this stuff. You're not going to take everything from me. Take my son, take everything, and then take my land too that I worked for. So we went to a notarizer and had it notarized that she's assigning it over to me, which was fraud on her part because she knew in advance that I can't sell it anyway unless I have all the documents. The land issue, how land is bought and sold in Zambia is different than is done here in Canada. Anyway, I finally was able to get two of the properties sold. So on the Kanakantapa property, which was assigned over to me, she knew that I couldn't sell it. So when I'm there, I'm hassling, trying to get her cooperation. You can see in that email that she refused, and there's other one or two emails that are entered as exhibits. If they're not there, I'll add them. But she refused to sell it. This is theft, according to the laws of Zambia. You interfere with someone owning of the property, in this case, me selling it. Now remember, she assigned all of the rights to that property over to me. That would be including the right to sell it. So anyway, what happened is that in that email, Exhibit 12, go take a look. She refused to sell it. She'll come up some excuse, no, this and that and the other reason. The reasons doesn't matter. You've assigned those rights over to me already. You have no say in it. Then she says, that land is for Asher. Notice carefully the wording there. That land is for Asher. She doesn't want it for Asher. She wants it for herself and her family to do business from, to make money. It has nothing to do with my son. Fast forward to that 10 hectares. With what the money that I had remaining, I was able to buy 10 hectares. Tribal land. Raw, virgin, beautiful, rich soil in this 10 hectares. Only approximately 40 miles north of the capital city of Lusaka. And approximately, the way the crow flies, maybe half a mile from the highway, but maybe 2 or 3 miles because you have to go in another road and kind of go in there. But good location, wonderful soil. I had, with what I had remaining, I purchased as many hectares as I could with the money I had remaining, leaving enough for airfare back to Canada. Then, if she's so concerned about Asher, why then did she refuse my offer? I told her, you can't have land in your name if you're a foreigner. And land, tribal land, needs, unless you live there and you're maybe native to there, maybe it's different. But even then, the land has more value once it's put on title. It's registered with the council. It's similar in Canada to the land titles office. And so I emailed her from Zambia and even from Canada. Will you cooperate and have this land in trust for Asher? She refused. As a result, the land is no more. So, if she's so concerned about land for Asher, here's a perfect opportunity to leave some valuable land, even more valuable than the Kanakantapa farm. But she refused. So even after all of this was stolen and defrauded, and that's what was left, even after all this, I still could have produced a home and a business for us and provided for the family. In spite of all, I would only have to come here, which was my intentions, and raise about $10,000 or $15,000 and go back there. Could have built a small house, could have bought some pre-started nut trees, you know, cashew nuts, etc., put some fruit trees on there. You could run a business from there. You can do other things. I could have done that. Now, as it is, I had a bad infection when I came back. I had hospital. Now I have surgery, so I couldn't have done that. But that was my intention. My point is that even after all the theft and fraud, the family could still have been provided for if that land was dealt with properly. But there's nothing now. I have nothing left except what I got back with me in my luggage and what I have here and the few belongings I acquired here. That's all I have left. It's all gone now. So these lies that I'm not providing for her, if I'm not providing for her, why did she herself block her own son from a valuable inheritance? Why? She's lying. She's not interested in this thing about me not providing is absolute nonsense. No one's a harder worker and more persevering than I am. So I want to set this matter straight. So, I helped her get citizenship. She refused to help me get citizenship in Zambia. So, I want to clarify something here as well. If I had this idea that I left, as she says, I ran away from my son. What a stupid thing to say. If my intentions were if I was not committed right from the start, and there was not known there would be any children anyway at the start, but if I had known from the start, no, pardon me, if I had intended from the start that I was not committed to her, that I was not in this permanently, would I be investing money for how many years in her country, in her name, with the intention that I'm going to leave you later? The intention that if there's children born, I'm going to leave my children? Why would I be investing there if I had even in the back of the mind, you know what, I might leave her if I don't like her, if it doesn't work out? Obviously, you're not going to invest money for that many years that you work on low-paying jobs for if you have anything in your mind but this is permanent. Right? A little bit of logic would tell you that much. All right? So, aside from that, as I've already said, we had agreement that we'd come back there and live. She broke that agreement. She's staying in Canada. So, let me go on here. See, she knows in advance that this comes out now. She knew in advance, oh, she can take a chance. She's in Canada. She can have the good life, what's perceived as a good life. What a lot of Africans don't understand is that when you come to a so-called developed country, you're just exchanging one set of problems for a different set of problems. In any case, she comes here for what she sees as the good life, which is about money. So she comes here. She never intended to be with me long term. Oh, and if I don't like him, I'll get rid of him. After all, I can benefit financially from this. I can have a good job. I can blah, blah, blah. And of course, I'm going to take any children that come. And so a woman can have it her way. She can get everything. A man's left with nothing. She knows this in advance. She never was committed. You can't love someone today and stop loving them tomorrow. Otherwise, you never love them in the first place. We can go on and on and on with this, but I've covered a lot of this on my website already. So I need to clarify some things here. She refuses my challenge for a polygraph exam where we would both answer the same question. She's afraid of it. I am not. So I need to set this straight once and for all, okay? Things are not what they appear to be. And this Bethel daycare is acting illegally by preventing me from accessing my son at their daycare center. She has no more legal right than I do over my son. I want to make this clear. But she works for Bethel Daycare. So she obviously has something to say. It is completely illegal what Bethel is doing. That Bethel Daycare location is inside of the Fort McMurray Christian School. She should not have even been able to enroll him in a school because she had no legal right to do that any more than I would have a legal right to take him out of school. You see, the woman always gets what she wants in these situations. She didn't have my permission to enroll him in a daycare or to enroll him in a school. I have to apply for permission to see my son when I never put him there in the first place. Everything is biased towards women here. A man could not do that. If a man tried to do this, he'd be arrested by the police. He'd become a poster boy. But a woman can get by with a lot of things that a man can't. This whole system is so slanted. There's no justice in Canada. So, boycott Bethel Daycare. Boycott them. Have nothing to do with them. So, that's all I have to say for now. I just wanted to set matters straight. Thank you for listening.